News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Pat Lee is with us. He's the Irish Times political editor to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you might not yet have seen. And prime amongst them are President Catherine Connolly has described the crisis in the Middle East as a violation of the UN Charter. Now, she didn't say the words Israel, nor did she say the words USA, but it's implicit, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that she's talking about this at the moment. And I don't think there's any confusion as to who she is referring to when she talks about the violation of the UN Charter. And of course, timing is everything in politics, and this comes a week before the Taoiseach meets President Trump in the Oval Office. And
does that mean it's going to get flung at him?
Sure, it is, of course. I mean, what else would we be asking him about? I mean, there might be a few desultory questions about the Irish Open, but this is, of course, what both men will be asked about during that encounter in the Oval Office. And now, look, the Taoiseach has got through one of these things before. Last year, he was in the Oval Office just a couple of weeks after that ambush of Vladimir Zelensky in the Oval Office. And there was something approaching terror amongst senior Irish officials in advance of that. Taoiseach got through it. OK, so much depends. I mean, if you view the presidency of Donald Trump in the way that it operates a lot of the time as almost a medieval court with courtiers circulating around the monarch, then so much depends on the mood of the monarch that day. And again here, but certainly last year, I was in the Oval Office last year, and President Trump was in great form. And as you will know, Anton, of course, you don't exactly have to answer every question in the terms that it is put by the questioner. So, look, I think there's additional pressure on the Taoiseach for sure, but he will hope to get around it.
From what the President has said, what does it achieve, Pat?
So, well, one of the things that it achieves is I think it heightens the temperature for the Taoiseach before he goes to Washington. It gives journalists some ammunition in terms of what they might want to ask them. But also, I suppose, I think there's been a perception the president is more than 100 days in office. I think there is a perception amongst her supporters that she has been a little quieter on things like this than they might have preferred. And I think that this is a signal that she is prepared to speak up on issues of concern to her, of concern to her supporters, even if it causes some discomfort for the Taoiseach.
Meanwhile, Gerry Adams is facing a court in London in a civil case alleging that he has ties to and membership in the IRA, or once did.
Yeah, so this is interesting. This is, it's a case by taken by survivors of two IRA bomb attacks, one in 1973 and one in 1996, by people who were injured in those bombings. And they tried to sue the IRA corporately and Gerry Adams. And a couple of years ago, a judge ruled that as the IRA did not have a legal status as an incorporated body, take that grin off your
They
face.
Never registered as a company,
no,
did they?
No, that's right. Yeah, their company's office, records were disastrously behind behind schedule. That lawsuit couldn't proceed. However, the judge ruled that they could sue Mr. Adams personally. So what the court will have to decide is whether he bore any personal responsibility for the bombings that these men were injured in. Now, look, I suppose the broader picture is this is part of the battle of the over the history of the Troubles, which has been engaged in, I suppose, for years now. And that battle over the history of the Troubles isn't just about history. I mean, the past isn't, you know, the past is not past. It's hardly even behind us, you know. And so I think it'll be, I think if you look, you know, down the road a little bit towards the outcome of this, if the court rules that actually, yes, Gerry Adams was liable, and these people aren't seeking damages in any meaningful sense, they're seeking, you know, £1 in symbolic damages. But I think it will undermine Adams because he has always maintained, as we know, that he was never in the IRA. This is, I think it is fair and legally defensible to say a statement that is widely disbelieved by, you know, but historians of the Troubles. It's widely disbelieved by every side, really. But
it doesn't put Gerry Adams in a position where he is, if he is found to have been, if the court says that he was a member of the IRA, it doesn't show him to have been in an organisation about which he is ashamed. He has long been proud of the IRA. So all it does is write large a contradiction in a statement that he has previously made. Does it make a material difference other than that?
I think it makes some difference to that dispute over the history of the Troubles as to how justified or otherwise the IRA's campaign was. And I suppose in a political situation where Sinn Féin is contesting for the leadership of government, that does matter. One other point I suppose to note about it in passing is this is a civil case, so the court will decide on the balance of probabilities rather than a criminal case. I mean, if there was sufficient evidence to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Gerry Adams was in the IRA, then he would be open to prosecution for that. But that's not what we're talking about here.
Final thing, the chef in Noma, this is the restaurant that for a long time was regarded as the best in the world. He has been accused of being less than nice, I think is the technical term.
I mean, this is the least surprising story I think I've ever read in the newspapers. Yeah, there's interviews, it's a story in the New York Times, interviews with 35 former staff and describe a culture of screaming, intimidation, and perhaps worst of all, body shaming inside the restaurant. Now, the René Redzepi, if that's how to correctly pronounce his name, I see he accepts that part of the accounts reflected harmful behaviour in his past, but he did not recognise every detail. In other words, he's bang to rights on it. But I mean, I would say as a parting shot, you know, who amongst us hasn't punched one of their staff? I mean, I think the real question is, did they deserve it or not?
How else are you going to enforce standards, Pat? You do have to say, though, it is refreshing to see somebody face allegations of very poor behaviour and respond, in essence, by saying, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I'm not a very close watcher of these things, but I've seen in passing some of these documentaries about, you know, behind the scenes in restaurants. And I think you'd want to have your wits about you now to be working in a Michelin star restaurant.
Once you know that Gordon Ramsay was made to weep by Marco Pierre White, you think if that's what happens, if somebody's able to make Ramsay cry, it can't be a good environment to
be in. Yes, I'm not sure the lessons that Mr. Ramsay took from that particular encounter. I certainly don't think it was, well, I'll never behave like that.
Pat, thank you very much. That is Pat Leahy, who is political editor of the Irish Times.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.